Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the themes of Lent, and this is the first Sunday in Lent, Lent began on Wednesday with Ash Wednesday, and it will continue until Easter, but one of the major themes of Lent is that Jesus takes our place under God's law. That is one of the key factors in our gospel reading today. Jesus takes our place, experiencing our temptation. God's law must be obeyed, and God's people cannot do so by themselves. So Jesus takes our place as our substitute, obeying God's law perfectly on our behalf. Again, one of the places this is seen is in the temptation in the wilderness. Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. Just as Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness, Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness, undergoing temptation. For this reason, we can call Jesus Israel reduced to one. Our epistle reading today from Romans 5 takes this idea of Israel reduced to one and alters it slightly in describing the relationship between Adam, Jesus, and sinful humanity. You might say that Adam and Jesus are humanity reduced to two based on how their respective actions affect all of humanity, beginning from creation with Adam himself. Our Old Testament reading from Genesis chapter 3 goes into Adam's fall into sin, but we need to take a couple of footsteps back into chapters 1 and 2 to see how Adam was before. You see, Adam was created by God, formed with God's own hand. The Lord God stoops down, he takes the dust and mud, forms that into a human form, breathes the breath of life into him, and the man became a living being. He was made perfect. He knew God perfectly and was himself perfectly known by God. He was sinless. He spoke to God face to face. And if you remember from last week with the Transfiguration, that is no mean feat to speak to God face to face and not be destroyed as a sinner. Adam was not. Adam was not sinful, and so Adam could speak to God face to face. Adam's life in the Garden of Eden was perfect in every respect. He tended the garden, he named the animals, but this was not labor. Farming was actually easy for him. Radical concept, I'm sure. He walked with God, and he had no fear of his creator. His creator would come down and walk with him in the cool of the evening through the garden. But one day, this just was not enough for Adam and for his wife. Adam and Eve were tempted in the garden, as we read in our Old Testament reading today from Genesis chapter 3. They were tempted and they sinned. They desired to be like God, knowing both good and evil. Before this, they just knew good. They didn't know evil. Their desire was to know evil, we might say. They knew God perfectly before this, and this broke that. And because of this sin, desiring to be like God, God cursed them to die. They did not die immediately, but their death was a certainty from that day, from that moment onward. And this singular act of disobedience cursed all of Adam's descendants to share Adam's fate. The one man's sin carried on to the many. And so because of Adam's sin, we all are condemned to death. Is this fair? To punish us for a sin committed by our forefather thousands of years ago? No! It is uncomfortable to consider that we all are condemned from the moment of conception, not because of anything we've done, but because of something Adam did. And yet, that's how it is. Think of Adam's sin as being a genetic disease carried by all humanity. Breast cancer, for example, runs in my family. The last three generations on my mom's side have suffered from it. My mom had it twice, my aunt had it twice, my grandma had it, my great-grandma had it. I'm just waiting for the phone call saying that my sister or one of my cousins has it now, in a few years. Is that fair? No. Heart disease and diabetes are also can be inherited conditions. Is it fair that I may get diabetes because my grandfather had it? No. Is it fair that mental illnesses can be inherited diseases? No. That it does not feel fair does not change that it is. Adam's sin predisposes all of us to sin. The reason that we cannot resist sin perfectly is because we have inherited that bent towards sin from Adam. Your sins are your own, and the consequences are your own, but that predisposition to sin, that is there because of Adam. Yet even beyond that original sin, which we inherited from Adam, we also have our own sins that we commit, all of which really come down to a desire to be like God, to be your own God, which is pretty much universal. And yet our sins do not always manifest in the same way as Adam's sin. It may manifest as covetousness, as anger, or lust, or greed. Whatever it is your own sin because you have inherited that sinful nature from Adam. But regardless of what pet sin you suffer from, you partake of it because all of humanity, the many, are suffering from the sin of the one man, Adam. In chapter 5, Paul talks about the consequences of sin and of Adam's transgression. As we look at our epistle reading today, Paul says, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because Adam sinned. Because of Adam's sin, we all are bent towards sin. And because of that bent towards sin, we cannot escape from sin. Because we commit our own sins, we are doubly condemned for Adam's sin and for our own. And Paul writes that one chapter later in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. We all are justly condemned for our sins, a condemnation that originated with one man, Adam, but this condemnation by one man is not the full story. The many are sinners because of one man, Adam, but the sins of the many are given over to another one man, Jesus. Jesus is that second Adam who also originates from God, as we see all through the New Testament. Jesus is the true Son of God. Luke calls Adam the Son of God in his genealogy of Jesus in chapter 4, but the same is true of Jesus. Where Adam has no earthly parents and is formed by God's hand, Jesus also is formed by God in the womb of his earthly mother without the involvement of a human father. Jesus also is created perfect and sinless and stays that way his whole life. Jesus also knows God fully and is fully known by God. And Jesus also speaks directly to God face to face and has God speak directly to him face to face. But unlike Adam before the fall, however, Jesus' life on earth was characterized by hardship and by suffering. As an itinerant rabbi, he had no home. He was rejected by his own people. Even his own family, his parents, or his mother and his brothers, all came to collect him because they thought he was off his rocker. His own friend betrayed him on the last night. He faced temptation to sin throughout his life, and nowhere more so than in the than when he was in the wilderness being tempted for 40 days while fasting. And yet, in spite of the hardship, in spite of the suffering, Jesus remained sinless and perfect. Jesus did not submit to the temptation. He did not make stones into bread. He did not throw himself from the temple. He did not usurp God's place. He did not give in. He did not sin against his father, and yet he nevertheless died a sinner's death on the cross. In other words, Jesus paid that price of sin despite never having sinned himself. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus paid those wages. This price paid for you. Jesus' death counts for you. Jesus' death takes the place of your death. Those wages of sin are paid. Through one man's sin, all men are counted sinners. Through one man's righteousness, all men are counted righteous. Jesus took our place. We would have been lost and without hope on our own, but Jesus took our place under God's law. Adam, our first ancestor, condemned us all to struggle through temptation and eventually die as the just punishment for our sins. But Jesus, our brother, took our place. He resisted the temptations that we could not. He died as the punishment for our sins, a death that we could not pay. His obedience makes us righteous. And because of his sacrifice, we are granted the bliss and the peace of paradise. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, as we continue our walk through Lent to the cross and the empty tomb. Amen.